And you're listening to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your host, Walter Duralia, joined by the other host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history.
I like to be known as the other host. I'm Walter Duralia, and then there's some guy that joins me every once in a while. I don't really know exactly who he is, but...
He's a good kid.
But, you know, I am honored to be here with you, Walt.
I am honored, Chris, to have you here with me as a co-host.
Not like we do this every week for the past few years. But, hey, whatever. You know, it's all good.
Okay.
Yes, it is Wednesday today. And, of course, today is New Comic Book Day for those of in the know. And so here we are today to talk a little bit about... you know, all good things that are comic book related.
Yes, we are.
All right. And just for those in the know, new this week is brought to you by Sumerian Cinnabons. What is best in life? Crushing your enemies, seeing them driven before you, and a delicious six-pack of Conan's Sumerian Cinnabons. Yes, Conan's Sumerian Cinnabons, available to finer trader posts and merchant squares everywhere. Whether you're scaling the Tower of the Elephant or need something to complement your wine and wenching, try Conan Sumerian Cinnabons. By Crom!
By Crom! By Conan Cinnabons! Sumerian Cinnabons.
Sumerian Cinnabons.
Yes.
All right.
Chris, yes, it is Wednesday, and everybody across the world are flooding into their local comic book shops.
Across the world. James. We have James here, our engineer here. James, you know that people listen to this show across the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure if they listen across the world, but I am sure that they're running into their local comic book stores.
That they are.
Across the world. And we are here to tell them a few of the highlights they should be looking for as they walk into their shops today.
Right.
First up, Sweet Tooth, Volume 2, In Captivity. Graphic novel, second volume from the great Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire, yeah. Yes. Of course, the first Sweet Tooth was a big success, and now the second one's coming out.
Now, I know we have a lot of listeners in Southern Ontario, and Jeff, being a proud Southern Ontario boy, if you haven't read Sweet Tooth yet, I'm sure fine comic shops have Volume 1 in stock.
You really got to get on that.
Because, you won't be disappointed,
no,
and Volume 2 hits the stores today.
Yeah.
Now, a side note. Jeff's Essex County, I don't know if we mentioned this before a few weeks ago or not, but the CBC Reads.
Yes.
They shortlist the top five Canadian books for the year.
This is the CBC,
the CBC on books, on literature.
Yeah, for sure.
So Jeff Lemire's Essex County this year was the first graphic novel ever to reach the top five, to crack the top five books that people should be reading.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's a big deal.
What an accomplishment that is for any kind of Canadian author.
Any author, any graphic novel author.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? All the better that I know Jeff Lemire was at the Big B Comics earlier in the year, and he's a great guy, and you know, fantastic, and kudos to him.
Yeah, excellent. All right, so that's Sweet Tooth Volume 2 In Captivity at your local shop today. Marvel, Incredible Hulk's number 618.
Yes.
This is the big Chaos War tie-in.
Yeah,
you know what? I've lost a little bit of a track with what's going on in the Hulk universe.
Well, you know what? I think I have a little bit too, because there's been so much going on with the Hulk lately that it's kind of hard.
There was red ones, and then there was green ones.
Yeah, I'm just
like Smarties.
Yeah, exactly, like Smarties. Yeah,
wasn't sure.
For those listeners out there, it's not at all like Smarties. Do not at all think about Smarties and the Hulk at the same time.
Okay.
Just warning you now.
Right.
Oh, I meant to say, yeah, it's exactly like Smarties.
In a way, maybe it is.
No, it's not, everybody. It's
all
not
right.
at all.
So, didn't Incredible Hulk, wasn't this used to be called Incredible Hercules?
Well, yeah, because, you know, there was the whole the Hulk, Planet Hulk, and then like the Hulk War kind of thing was going on, and he came back and he basically hated everybody and decided to wage war on the entire planet, and then he went away for a little while, and then it was Hercules kind of came by for a while, and then it was the Incredible Hercules kind of took over the comic. But it's good to know that now that the Incredible Hulk is actually back in the Incredible Hulk form. rather than an incredible Hercules form.
Right, and he's back, and he's mad, and it's a chaos war tie-in.
Yeah, that's great.
And Hulk purists, though, Hulk purists, I'm sure, are happy that the Hulk is back on the Hulk title.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right? You know what's just as frightening as the Hulk? Because I think that the sweater that Walt is wearing in front of me right now, it's quite hideous, I got to say. You know, I don't know if his wife is listening to this or not, but man, the sweater, that his cardigan thing, he's got like this old-time 1920s sweater coat thing that really should only Mr. Dress-Up should be wearing.
Wow. Good thing this isn't video. Chris, we have to keep the show moving.
Sorry. I can't keep my eyes off that terrible sweater.
Eyes off you. We're going to go over to DC where Booster Gold, number 39.
Go for the gold. Yeah. Booster Gold.
And Booster Gold, number 39, written by Keith Griffin.
Or Keith Giffen. You know, either or.
Right.
It's
Keith
good.
Griffin. Keith Giffen, you're right.
Griffin, whatever, you know.
Typo.
Whatever. It's all good. I'm sure he doesn't mind.
And art by Chris Batista.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I got that right.
There's a switch.
Chris, you're getting me off track here. I want to talk important things about Booster Gold, if there is such a thing.
Well, that's where your first mistake is. Really? Is there really anything important about Booster Gold? However, you know what? There are some Booster Gold fans out there.
And they're probably listening. Probably offended.
And they're probably hating me right now. But anyways, please, I don't mean to interrupt you.
My sweater is hating you right now.
I don't mean to interrupt your wonderful diatribe about the greatness of Booster Gold. Please continue.
Yeah. So Booster Gold... Apparently, Booster Gold is he heads back to the place where he's from,
the future.
Yeah, and when he gets back there, he's arrested for stealing the time sphere that allowed him to become Booster Gold.
Oh, well, yeah.
So it's a big story.
That was sort of his big thing, you know, when he came back from.
So this is like a big Booster Gold story. Now, the bigger story to me, though, is that Booster Gold has reached 39 issues.
Well, you know what? There are actually Booster Gold fans out there. I mean, Booster Gold did go for a little while back in like the 80s and 90s. It was a sort of a big-ish comic. And then, of course, there was always a Booster Gold, Blue Beetle sort of dynamic duo kind of thing going on during the lean years of the JLA, I'll call it, you know, when Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, and Fire and Ice were part of that team members.
Wow.
You know.
Star-studded lineup.
It really was. And we saw a lot of Martian Manhunter eating marshmallows and Oreo cookies and stuff like that back then.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really hard-hitting.
Yeah. Surprises me it was canceled.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah.
Wow. So, well,
anyways.
Listen, Booster Gold fans, rejoice.
Yeah.
Issue 39. It hits the stands today. And I'm going to stop there because we're just...
Why would you want to do that?
Because, you know, the news we're delivering is just too heavy and it's too intense.
True.
But we encourage everybody to go out and hit your local comic shop and check out the new this week.
All right. Well, that's... seems like as good a time as any to have a bit of a musical interlude over to... why not play a little bit of the Teen Titans?
Good stuff, Chris. Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Teen Titans.
Go.
Chris brings us to industry news. And luckily enough, thanks to our producer, Anthony Falcone, we have a sponsor for industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Central City Union of Speedsters.
Central City.
Yes. Equal pay should be granted for equal work. And we speedsters refuse to submit to an hourly wage. Our expeditious nature results in low pay, often getting pennies for what normal people would do in hours. If you are a speedster and if you require union representation, join Central City Union of Speedsters.
Yes, I'm sure there's lots of speedsters out there that would just be dying to join the Central City Union.
Right.
Yes, okay, absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Excellent. And you know what? We've sped our way to industry news today. And I want to start, Chris, this is something, this bit of monthly news we revisit here and again, and that's the monthly comic sales.
Right, absolutely, yes. Oh, yeah, I don't even think, have we done that for a while? It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, I think like February was the last time we did it.
I don't know if it was that long ago, but it seems like it's been a while since we've done any kind of report on.
Yeah, I think we might have missed last month because we were laden with guests.
Laden.
Yes, and then once they got to know what the show was about,
the guests
have dried up.
That's not true. We do have guests lined up.
Yes, we do. For the third time this year, the number one comic had not reached 100,000 in sales. And that's not really what I want to talk about, is I know that a few months ago we were talking about how Marvel has pulled away from DC in terms of the monthly share and the monthly dollar value. Well, November really, proved otherwise. DC has clawed its way back. For example, out of the top 10 selling comic books, there are 8 DC comic books.
Really?
Yes.
That's surprising because normally it's the other way around.
Right.
Yeah.
And five of them, are
Green Lantern.
No, are Batman.
Oh, really?
So you have number one, Batman The Return.
Yep. Batman
number
Inc.
Number one.
Batman Inc.
Batman Inc. Number one is second.
Yeah.
And they're both neck and neck. Okay, then you had Avengers number 7. But then you had Batman The Return of Bruce Wayne number 6, which completed that a miniseries, a story arc. You had Batman and Robin number 16, but you also had Batman and Robin number 17, I guess, because there were 5 Wednesdays, I believe.
Right.
But so that's and you had Green Lantern in there and 2 Brightest Days.
You know,
this
is a high contrast to what would have happened, you know, a few months ago. It's very rare that DC takes over the top 10 list of comic sales. Normally, you're looking at X-Men and Avengers and Spider-Man.
New Avengers.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. So this is very strange that Marvel would lose its footing to DC, especially to one character, really.
Really?
I'm not surprised that it's Batman. However, I am a little surprised that Green Lantern didn't make any kind of appearance
Number 9. Sorry, was number 9.
Okay.
But is this DC taking a page from Marvel?
Well,
you know how Marvel would have 15 Wolverine titles and 7 Avengers titles all cracking the top 10 or whatever. Now there's like 5 or 6 Batman things going.
I think that's part of it. I think over the years, I think DC's been making a strong comeback with their characters, you know, especially with multimedia different tie-ins such as movies and games and things like that. You know, we've got the video game of Batman that came out last year. And then we had, of course, the Batman the Dark Knight movie. Next year we have the Green Lantern movie coming out. So there's lots of different kind of DC franchises that are becoming very popular and sort of taking over the spotlight where Marvel had previously reigned.
Right, you're absolutely right. And the thing I find interesting is that of the top 10, Avengers number 7 and Amazing Spider-Man number 648, Dan Slott thing,
Right,
But what's missing in this is a Marvel event book.
Yes.
Because over the last few years, there's always been some sort of flipping Siege or whatever.
Secret Wars or New Avengers or something like that.
Like, there's always been something tied to some sort of the big event going on, and that's just lacking now in the Marvel lineup. Or it's not selling.
Yeah, well, and maybe this is the fans reacting to all these different, major tie-ins that, you know, maybe they're getting a little bit tired of all these, you know, multiple crossovers and tie-ins and how these stories are really unending. I mean, you know, it's funny.
Unending.
It's funny. As a comic book collector, I understand that comics are, you know, really a soap opera of sorts, right? However, but what I don't like about comics is the fact that, you know, you feel sometimes compelled to have to buy them month to month in order to figure out what's going on. I mean, there's never a break, right?
Yeah.
It's not like the old days in the 1970s where you could pick up a comic and sort of, you know, read a comic for what it's worth. And, you know, if you missed an issue, it wasn't that big of a deal. You could sort of get the gist of it, right?
Right.
Now, if you miss an issue, it's sort of like you don't know what's going
on.
Yeah,
you're missing a piece of the puzzle, and then the next five issues don't make sense or something like that.
Right.
Well, on the same same token, same bunch of information come out of the top 300 graphic novels. And no surprise, Walking Dead Volume 13, it was the number one selling graphic novel this for November. Almost 20,000 units moved through specialty shops. Then you had Serenity, Shepherd's Tale. And then you had that, interestingly enough, that Superman Earth 1 hardcover, the one that came out about a month and a half ago that sold out the first day.
Yeah.
They quickly went back to production. And they, you know, basically the second wave hit number three on the graphic novel charts. So that's good. Again, though, Walking Dead Volume 13 was number one, and Volume 1 was number
9. 13. Oh, I was kind of hoping that, you know, Volume 13 was number 1 and number 1 was Volume 13.
That would be excellent. It would
be kind of cool, don't you think?
It wouldn't be. No.
I thought it would have been kind of cool.
But obviously the TV show.
Yes, completely.
The one that you and I haven't seen yet.
How do you know I haven't seen that? You know,
have you seen the...
No.
Okay.
the one that was given to me by my engineer here is sitting next to me now. He's shaking our head, shaking his head,
shaking
rather.
Our heads,
our heads.
Yes.
We're both shaking our heads because I'm ashamed for not seeing it, and he's ashamed for me for not seeing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, by the way, that last issue, the last episode that aired Sunday night was the most watched of them all.
Well, yeah. Like, apparently, it was amazing.
Viewers.
Apparently, yeah. Like, it was just amazing.
And the Hollywood Reporter says also, The Walking Dead is the most pirated TV show right now.
Oh, I believe that. Hey, James, how did you get that particular episode for me? Oh, no comment. No, he's shaking his head. He doesn't want to say anything here. Okay.
Right.
I'm sure he must have bought it somehow from somebody or other. Yeah, okay.
Well, the thing with The Walking Dead, okay, listen, graphic novels are selling like hotcakes.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's Christmas, and it's going to be a good gift idea, I think, for a lot of people.
And you know what? We're going to be talking a little bit about Christmas gift ideas later in the program.
Yes. So get your pen and paper.
Yes. And so for those of you that...
PDA?
PDA? Yeah, sure.
What they call them? What do you call those little things?
Yeah, it's a personal digital assistant. I don't know what it is. Yeah,
right.
Okay,
get them ready.
Yeah, get your Pocket Pal something or other together.
Right. Palm Pilot.
Yeah, there you go. Do those things even exist anymore?
Pocket
Palm
Pool.
Pilots? I don't think anybody's going to be using Pocket Pool. But you know what?
It exists. Pocket Pool still exists.
As well as... I don't think Palm Pilots do, but Pocket Pool probably does.
All right.
What do you get your somebody who has nothing but Pocket Pool on their list for Christmas this year? What do you get that person? We'll talk about that later in the show.
We'll talk about that later. Well, the interesting thing, so Walking Dead is like crested, crescendo. It's like up at the top right now, right?
It's reached the Sierra.
Yeah, the peak.
The peak, yes.
But the sad part now is cripe, you have to wait till next October.
Cripe.
holy strawberries, Batman.
Cripe.
We're in a jam. Which is what the AMC producers are thinking now.
Right.
Thinking, man, we should have done a 13-episode thing.
Sure,
because
you know what? It's untapped resource. It is zombies. Although
they'll stay dead for the
They'll be around for a while, yeah, for sure. So you know what? Although I can understand why they'd be a little hesitant because, you know, there is a lot of zombie material out there. And you never know how it's going to go, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some zombie movies that didn't do quite as well as Walking Dead.
Right. All right. It will be interesting to see if they can keep this level of interest carried over into the next year.
For sure. For sure. I completely understand.
All right. Chris, at auction, a Comic Connect auction last month, two very, very coveted original art covers went up for auction.
I saw that. One of them was a Superman piece and one was a Batman piece.
Yeah, yes. Superman number 14, both done drawn by Jerry Robinson.
Right.
The iconic cover to Superman 14, if people don't know, just Google images Superman number 14. You get that patriotic shield cover of Superman with the armed forces coming up from behind and stuff. So. And also, what's the other one?
The Batman had a Joker cover.
Detective number 69, the Joker cover.
Yeah.
And neither of them sold.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? I mean, like, okay, they went on auction and neither of them sold because the reserves were a little high. And I don't know how much Jerry Robinson's asking for these pieces, but I mean, the Superman piece went, you know, was upwards in the $400,000 era.
I think it was era.
It's in the $400,000 era.
I don't know what the artist got for that piece, but he should have got life.
It was in the area of around $400,000, and it didn't sell. So I'm assuming that it must have been the reserve must be around like half million or something, right?
Yeah. And a Detective 69 cover reached $213,000. The interesting part about that is that he has said himself, Jerry Robinson has, that he's looking to make money off these things to help his family.
Well, okay, granted, he did say that, but at the same time, he also said he hopes somebody will buy them and give them to a museum. So, you know, why is it that, you know, here's a guy, and now I understand his motivation, but here's a guy that is hoping to make a bundle of money off of them so that somebody else can donate them to a museum.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So one would think, why doesn't he just donate them himself?
Wow. Okay. Right? The obvious reason is $600,000 to $700,000.
Sure. But, right. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people around here that have $600,000 or $700,000 to just, you know, pony up for two pieces of artwork and then turn around and say, hey, you know what? These are somewhat classical. I think I'll donate them to somebody.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, good argument. What he should have done basically is just kept his mouth shut.
Yes.
Put them up for sale.
Absolutely.
Try to get as much money as he can.
Yeah.
Pocket it. Right, but I guess what you're saying is like hypocritical in a way to say,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's fine that he sells them, but then don't kind of coerce the buyer
pressure-wise,
right? Because usually this buyer, you think about the psychology here, right? You and I aren't going to buy these pieces of art. It's going to be somebody with a ton of cash.
For sure.
And now he's buying them. But it's in the public awareness now that the seller has said, boy, I hope these things go to an auction.
A museum. Yeah.
So now I'm the schmuck with a bunch of cash that wants these things for my office.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you're going to give them to a museum?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he says he wanted to have the money to make sure that his family is well looked after. But yet, you know, but then at the same time, well, these are, you know, artistic pieces. Well, then they should be in a museum.
Right.
Well, which is it? Which, you know, you can't have it both ways. Do you want to sell them as a piece of pop culture icon? Or
Jerry, you have to or get off the pot.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
All right. Listen, now, as a last note on there, that Superman number 14 cover would have set a record.
Yes.
For the highest paid price for a cover of a comic book because it didn't sell, but it was the price was already above the existing record, which was Frank Frazetta's Weird Science Fantasy number 29 cover, which sold for $380,000 in June. And that's obviously because it was Frank Frazetta.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, you know what? That ties in perfectly to our musical segue and
musical segue.
Here we are, a little bit of the Ramones.
Radioactive blood. Can't sleep from a thread. Take a look.
The Ramones.
All right. Well, our next segment is brought to you by Shang-Chi's Kung Fu Dojo. Are you weak and often bullied? Come to Shang-Chi's Kung Fu Dojo and learn how to extract righteous retribution upon your enemies. Currently, we're holding a special on kicks. Learn five different kinds of kicking for the price of two. If you need to learn Kung Fu, learn from the master, Mr. Shang-Chi.
Wow. Chris, you need a couple of those U-bolt throat lozenges that we
U-bolt
that we advertised last week.
You mean Black Bolt?
Okay, Black Bolt. Same thing.
Black Bolt. Whatever. All right.
Boy. All right.
Okay.
You got me.
Here we go. Industry
Chris,
news.
You got me off my game.
Industry news.
Industry news. Yes. Okay. Where were you? Hey, listen. I wanted to talk a little bit about. Borders.
That's
wanting,
the
big book chain
big book
in the
chain
U.S.
In the States. Yeah, it's
yeah.
A great store.
They're looking maybe to make an offer on Barnes & Noble.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, you know what? Borders is a great store. I love going to Borders because a lot of times they actually have stuff that I can't find anywhere else. For a long time, they had a great selection of DVDs, but even their book sales, they seem to have stuff that nobody else does.
Right. Well, I mean, not so much comic related, but I wanted to bring this in just to discuss the fact that, okay, you know, both are large concerns and both are kind of besieged right now with digital.
Besieged.
Yeah. Digital downloads, right. Where everything is going, where the industry is going. And, I mean, obviously consolidation is needed, but the fact that somebody is going to invest in Barnes & Noble,
right,
is kind of a shot of confidence into, you know, the whole premise brick and mortar stores selling things like graphic novels,
yeah.
Right? Because these bookstores like Chapters in Canada and Barnes & Noble and Borders in the United States are large movers of graphic novels and manga
for sure,
now.
For sure.
And the fact that everybody's not running away from stocks like Borders and
yeah,
Barnes & Nobles.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that somebody sees, you know, I don't want to use the word hope, but prospects
in
a merger.
I think there's always going to be a space for the what I'll call the brick-and-mortar stores. I think people do like to go and see what they're getting into. They
well,
like
that's
to do,
that's
you know.
The debate now, what everybody's kind of afraid. Will there be brick-and-mortar comic book
it,
stores?
It can't possibly just be strictly online sales for everything, right? Like people
right.
do want to be able to go to the store, open up a comic or open up a graphic novel, open up a book for that matter, and take a look at it, have a feel for it in their hands. It can't always just be online for everything,
right? And but second part of my it's not an argument, but what I wanted to kind of what came to light when I read this is, you know, the bookstores, the big chains, the national chains, whether it be
Chapters or Borders
or Barnes & Nobles,
yeah.
I think if you look at the stats, they have retracted at a far heavier, larger percentage than, let's say, the independent comic book stores have.
What do you mean by
retracted? Like the amount of stores that is closed as a percentage of the amount that were opened at one time, right?
I believe
that's the case. And I want to get to my point. And I think that owes a lot to really the resiliency of independent comic book stores, the adaptability of local comic shops, building a local community of local comic book fans that can weather things that maybe a corporate box store can't.
I think you're right on a couple of different levels there. I think one of the things is the community aspect of a comic book store is way different from the community aspect of a large chain bookstore, right? People that go to Chapters on a weekly basis probably don't get to know the people that work there as well as somebody that goes to a comic book store on a weekly basis. There's a community involvement there that you don't get at a regular store.
Right.
I don't think that you get a chance to look at comic books on a regular basis at a big store like you do. You wouldn't necessarily go to a big store and look at novels, peruse the novel for a little while, you know, look at each page, you know, check out the artwork or anything.
Talk
like that.
To another guy beside you that's perusing a novel and getting into
there's,
a conversation.
And which brings us again back to the notion that there is sort of a weird sort of community with comic book retailers that I think that box stores don't necessarily have. However, having said all that, I think that, you know, with the retraction of box chain bookstores like Chapters, like Barnes & Nobles or Borders, you know, I can go ahead and order a novel off Amazon, you know, .ca and expect to get a novel and know exactly what I'm getting in that novel. Whereas I don't know if I can go to Amazon and order a comic book on a monthly basis and have a good idea of what I'm getting. Granted, you know, maybe the graphic novels might sell well through Amazon, but I think what's still selling, you know, for comics are the regular mom and pop comic book stores where you get to go to that place and check out each individual comic.
Right. And here's the interesting exercise that we can do in our head. So if you have a huge power center or two close to each other on a huge major kind of commercial area, and you have a Barnes & Noble on the one side and a Borders on the other, you're going to assume that if a Borders closes that, I don't know, 80-90% of those people that were going over to Barnes & Noble are going to head over to Borders.
Sure, of course.
My question is, comic book stores.
Yeah.
Can consolidation work there? If you had two guys in the same corner of town, right? But because they're so personal,
yeah.
And you had one guy retire or go under because he was just right on the thread there. Do 90% of those guys go over to the other comic book store?
I don't know if you'd get 90%. You'd probably get about 60%.
Would it be that high? I don't even know if it would be that high.
Well, you know, it depends on the personality of the store. I think that it depends on, you know, whether or not certain stores have that kind of personality, because sometimes there's going to be a store that will have you know, I don't know what you call it, like, you know, people that are running the stores, the, you know, clerks, whatever you want to call it.
They have their
they'll have their own kind of personality that will be able to draw in other people. Some people go to the same comic book stores just because they have, you know,
joie de vivre.
No, like they're loyal. They're loyal.
Right, loyalty
to that store.
Right, yeah.
I've been in the comic book industry long enough that I've talked to some people, and they've said that, you know, even though they don't necessarily like that particular store, they go to it because they're loyal to them. They don't particularly like that person even.
Right. Wow. Man, I hate that guy, but damn.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I remember talking to some guys. They go to some comic book stores, and even after going to them for like 15 years, they still don't know that person's name, right? You know, and for a mom-and-pop type store, that's a big deal.
Right. Fair enough. All right. Well, it's interesting stuff, and I'm sure it could be debated, you know. And you know what? We're heading in that direction. We're heading in the direction where these changes are happening. And as time moves on, I think you will see the local independent, very flexible comic stores being able to adapt to the situation much better than these big, large box stores.
I mean, I don't think that the local comic book store is going to be able to make nearly the same kind of money that the big box stores would, but they'll certainly do very well at what they do.
And right. They probably won't be able to lose as much money as the big box stores
fair
do
enough,
either.
Fair right? enough. So, that's right, yeah.
All right. Chris, what else do we got? Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Oh my goodness.
We have they were talking about the Green Lantern movie.
Oh yeah.
And Mark Guggenheim. Is that right?
Sure.
Guggenheim.
Mark
yeah, who's
Guggenheim?
A co-writer of the movie.
Yeah.
They were discussing and I did not know this, but there was a segment where Clark Kent makes a cameo.
Oh, I did not know
they
that.
Wrote, they had written that in, and they had scripted it, and then they had it made a second revision, it made a third, and it made it down the chain quite far.
Right.
But as of today, it looks like they've cut that scene out.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. I read that. I go, what? This would be great. You know
for
how
sure.
like Luke Cage, not Luke Cage. What's the guy with the patch on Marvel?
See Luke Cage and
Nick Fury.
Yes.
Yeah, Nick Fury. You know, I mean. It would be really good.
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of stuff that really gets a lot of the hardcore fans excited.
Excited.
Right?
You're absolutely you know, right. Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. And then he goes on to say, but don't count it out yet.
Well, you know what? Maybe he's trying to say that, you know, it's not going to happen so that people will stick around to the end of the credits and then actually see it and then they get all excited. Maybe it was supposed to be kept a secret and now it's not a secret anymore. So, you know, who knows?
Right. Now, you know what else it could be, too, though? Maybe the next Superman movie, they don't really have the guy that's going to play it yet. And they don't want,
yeah.
you know, they don't want whoever.
Joe Schmo
is Clark Kent.
Yeah.
And then the next franchise, that Joe Schmo
sure,
is not Clark
for sure,
Kent.
For sure. I can see that happening.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to get back to. News should have been a good segue. I missed the segue, Chris. You know, I always get the segues, and I missed this segue.
You really
I apologize.
Did, yeah. Well, yeah.
About the comic book shops. Now, apparently, Diamond Comic Distribution, which is the company that distributes comics to all the comic book stores.
Okay. Wait. There's a comic book company that distributes comics to comic book stores?
Believe it or not.
Wow, that's crazy. All right.
It's like an amazing business.
It must be, yeah.
Anyway, they are looking at launching some sort of digital comic distribution service through comic book stores.
Digital? Well, I mean, now, why would a company like this be successful when you've got Marvel and DC already? Well, I don't really know if DC's offering this, but I know
to
Marvel.
A degree, I think they're
doing a little bit. Marvel's already offering these. Why would somebody want to step in and be a third party when it's not necessary?
Well, here's the thing. Right. This is actually a story from Bleeding Cool.
Okay.
And a lot of the comic book stores chimed in on the article underneath. And a lot of them are saying, it's a great idea. But, you know, what's known about the program? What Diamond is saying is that the brick and mortar comic book stores have made us and we are trying to support them.
Right.
And we're going to come up with some sort of package and program that will make it beneficial for the existing comic book fans that are going into the comic book stores to actually use that comic book store
Yeah, it's very smart for Diamond to do this because, you know, I can understand how, you know, they would want to go ahead and continue to support the local comic book store because really that's Diamond's bread and butter, right?
Right.
So now, having said that, they don't necessarily need, Marvel and DC are already doing some sort of download type thing on their own. But what they're not doing is they're not supporting the independent publishers as much. So if Diamond can somehow come up with a way of digitizing all the independent publishers or the small press guys and offering some sort of download for them, then I can really see how Diamond would take this up.
Or what Diamond can do what they've already done. And let's not forget that what Diamond is doing now, this is protecting themselves more than protecting their, you know, by protecting the brick and mortars that have the accounts that are giving the weekly paycheck to Diamond, they're protecting themselves.
Right.
So they don't want to be pushed out of everything by Marvel, by DC. And, you know, basically Marvel and DC right now, what they're doing is they're cutting out the middleman,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So like you said, what they could probably do that these guys can't is that they could package up all the publishers under one kind of umbrella, one program, something like that. Maybe that's the direction they're going.
One lump sum for everything.
One lump sum, and it gets you access to Devil's Due, Dynamite, IDW, Dark Horse, Marvel, DC, if they come on, right?
Yeah. And it might be like, say, let's say it might be $29 a month for IDW and Devil's Due and Image, and Dark Horse. But then if you want to, slap on DC with that, well, that's another $20. Do you want Marvel for that? Well, that's another $20. So, I'm sure they can have all kinds of different levels.
Yeah, and packages. You can get, package A, package B, package C.
For $129 a month, you can read every comic that's ever been produced that month.
Everything, right. Yeah. Right. So, very, very interesting kind of, people were kind of waiting for what Diamond was going to do with all this kind of changes that were happening this year with the aggressive moves to downloads from the big companies.
Yeah.
And obviously Diamond hasn't just been sitting.
No, no.
They've been coming up with some sort of plan. So in the next month or two, it'll definitely be interesting to see where they're going. And we're obviously on this show going to keep track of this and report it as it goes along. All right. Chris, I think that will end industry news.
Oh, all right. Well, you know what? That's a good thing because I actually have a little bit of Queen lined up for us. Did you know that Queen was actually one of the songwriters?
A rock band for
Flash Gordon.
I do.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? And I'm sure it's going to be coming
crazy,
on.
Crazy.
I'm sure it's going to be coming on in a second
sure
now. There
crazy.
We go.
Woo.
Supposed to mean
we are the champions. Is that the song that was on?
No, I'm so sometimes I'm just embarrassed,
Chris,
to be around you.
The last segment of our show is brought to you by Big B Comics.
What?
At 1045 Upper James Hamilton. If you want to shop at a store with balls enough to read out an ad on their own radio show, then Big B Comics is the place for you. Great gift ideas for all the superheroes on your list at Big B Comics. That's 1045 Upper James, just north of the link.
You know, if I wasn't embarrassed to be with you when you was completely screwed up the fact that you this was, you know, you thought that was a We Are the Champions by Queen. I'm mortified to be right here with you right now. I can't believe
Why is that?
I can't believe you just plugged your own store on this radio show.
Chris, I got
Here we have all kinds of sponsors that offer their time and money to us.
Good money.
Yeah, good money. And here you are, you're just taking up our own time and
Listen,
money.
Chris, all I got to say is romance with no finance is a damn nuisance.
That had nothing to do with anything.
I know, but that's all I could come up with.
Yeah, all right, really, fair enough. Really I'm still mortified.
Right, okay. Well, you'll learn to live with it.
Yeah, I kind of
have
to.
You know what? You know, you alluded to it at the beginning of the show.
Eluded. You know what eludes me is the reason why you're on this show. But anyways.
We are going to talk about Christmas-themed gift ideas for specific fans of comic books.
All right. Sounds good. Now, we talked a little bit last week about, you know, what to get people for Christmas and things like that. Now, what we're doing this week here is we're actually talking about specific gift ideas for specific fans.
That's what I just said, I swear.
Well, you know, sometimes you're not too very clear on things.
Okay. Well, I thought it was clear there. We're going to talk about specific gifts for specific comic book fans. So let's start with the Batman fan.
Batman, yes.
The Batman fan. What do you get the Batman fan?
New utility belt.
Very good. New utility belt. Vivid's Batman XXX video.
You know, I'm sure Bruce Wayne would absolutely be rolling in his comic book grave if he was dead, if he knew that there was a Batman Vivid. Actually, maybe he'd like it. You never know. He might like it. Yeah.
Hey, gift certificate to Ancestry.com.
Ouch! Wonder what my parents are doing right about now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Let's. How about Superman? What do you get? There's 100 million Superman fans in the world. Maybe they want something for Christmas.
A lunch date with Margot Kidder, complete with pills.
Okay. How about an XXX Kingdom Come video?
Complete with Magog.
Oh, Magog. Oh, Magog. Oh, my God. The Man of Steel.
All right.
Chris, save me. Get me out of this.
Yeah. Okay. What else is next?
Okay. How about the horror fan?
Yeah. You know, I could go out on a limb and say something like Walking Dead graphic novels.
Ooh, very good. Like, how about like a pack of Depends?
Because they get so scared. They get scared.
Yes, and then they go
right
in their pen. Yes, right. Okay. Well, I didn't say they're all gems, Chris. I just just say it.
All right.
What other kind of fan? Anime.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out there.
I know what you get. The anime fan.
What do you get the anime fan?
A life. I meant to say
no.
Blow up doll with big eyes.
Chris, of course, was playing the evil Chris. That he played in
episode 23
in the anime fair of anime of Naruto. Is that even anime, Naruto?
Sure.
Yeah, you can get them something.
How about a blow up doll with really big eyes?
A blow up doll with big eyes. I like it.
Yes.
Eyes.
Yeah.
James is a little worrying about what if it's eyes, it should be blown up. Blown up real good.
Never mind. Right. We can get them like, you know, like what do you call it? A gift certificate to a costume place.
Yes, there you go.
That would be good.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Get them rolls of felt. And scissors.
Yeah.
And glue.
Yes, absolutely. All right.
How about the Spider-Man fan? Spider-Man.
Well, you know, yeah, I don't know.
What do you get the Spider-Man fan?
New aunt and uncle? I don't know. Like,
oh, Jesus.
I don't know. Some sort of responsibility book. I don't know. Yeah.
Elmer's glue. That went nowhere. That one.
Elmer's glue, everybody. That's what you get. The Spider-Man fan. Elmer's glue. Thanks a lot, Walt. Yeah, that's right.
Hey, tickets to the Spider-Man musical.
There you go. Complete with hard hat for all the mishaps that are happening with the wires coming down on people's heads.
Hey, you get perfect. It might be available at Big B Comics at 10:45.
Oh, here we go. More with the plugging of
the Snuggies. I don't think we have any, by the way. But those, you know, those. You know, what do you call those?
Snuggies?
They have Spider-Man snuggies.
Reverse house coats?
Yeah. They have Spider-Man snuggies. So
you can get one complete with cobwebs.
Ooh, okay. Chris, the Iron Man fan. There are a lot of Iron Man fans. There are.
I know exactly what you get them.
What do you get them?
Black Sabbath CD.
Oh, I like it. I like it, yeah.
Yes, or perhaps a shot glass. Or a bottle of booze.
Or a gift certificate to the LCBO.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
I like
Perfect.
It. Perfect. That's okay, right. So that's for your Iron Man fans out there. Right. There's lots to get for the Iron Man fans on your list. How about the artsy fartsy fan? You know, the guy that comes in and he buys the scratchy comics that nobody else reads. And he's all pretentious.
Humility?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. How about a turtleneck?
Oh, and beret. And one of those long cigarettes with like long filter?
Cigars.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
And they can snap at their own little, you know, yeah, that's right.
Great, of course, the artsy fan didn't really work. But let's move on to...
Has anything worked so far?
The fan who appreciates the female form.
Oh, well, that
would
be... How
about the vivid Batman XXX?
No, there you go, exactly. See? You know. Or wait, remember we talked last week about the Wonder Woman hardcore...
There you go. Right.
There you go. Oh, absolutely, excellent. Yes.
Or, for practical reasons, I would recommend a Gil Elvgren calendar.
Oh, practical reasons, so they can actually keep track of their
dates. They can actually put it... in their household, and not hide it in some sort of locked closet.
No. Okay, that sounds good.
The toy collector. Lots of toy collectors, Chris. Lots of toys will be selling this holiday season. Yes. A lot of toy collectors. What do you get a toy collector?
Anything mint in box.
Anything mint in box.
That's what I'm going to say.
I like that. Yeah. Anything mint in box. How about more space?
How about storage.
Storage. Rent them a year's rent at one of those.
Oh, one of those like U-Haul things.
U-Haul, like outside the city.
Yeah.
Call 188 storage or something like that.
And hopefully it's just toys that they're keeping there.
Yes. How about the sci-fi fan?
You know what? There are a lot of sci-fi fans out there, and you can pretty well please them with just about anything, I would say.
That is like, you know what that says? That says, I can't think of a joke. So, I'm just going to say something lame.
Okay, how about one of those William Shatner records from years ago?
Oh, I love those.
Like, I mean, you know, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Yeah, that's good. That'll be good. That's a space out and a half there, right? Yeah. That was okay. All right.
So is that better or
it's way better. It's better than the one I have, which is none. But okay, and finally we're going to end it because we are, I think, running out of time.
We got a few more minutes here, but not a whole lot of time. Yeah.
All right. The nerd who has everything. What do you get the nerd?
A date.
Oh.
That's horrible. I know. I'm sorry. You know what?
For all the nerds out there.
I apologize.
Chris was playing the evil Chris.
From episode 23. The evil within the big comic book daily.
Devil and Miss Jones.
You know, I do. I kid because I love, and having been a nerd for many years, and those would argue that I still am. That's why I can call my own,
right?
So it's I have no problem with that.
Right, right. All right, Chris. Well, that I think wraps out every racial and social profile that we could possibly.
Who haven't we insulted yet so far?
But anyway. If you know a fan.
Speaking of insults, I still can't believe you actually went ahead and plugged your own comic book store on our show.
Yeah,
Big B Comics at
I'm embarrassed to say it again.
Okay. Whatever,
all right.
Yeah.
Listen, for all the superhero and horror and toy fans out there, You know, head out into a local comic book store.
A local.
And tell the person at the counter what your person likes, and you will be pleasantly surprised with the depth of knowledge these people have.
In all honesty, you know, usually if you come with a list or come with some sort of idea, they're generally extremely talented at knowing what these people can do here. And so, your local comic book store will be able to help you out a little bit.
Excellent. All right, Chris, I think that wraps up this segment of the show.
Well, you know what? Just before we go, we're almost out of time here, but before we do go, I would like to remind our listeners that you're more than welcome to comment on today's show at comicbookdaily.com, and you can write to us and check things out and post a little comment about whether or not you enjoy today's show. We do appreciate your comments. They do make our show better.
Yes, they do, and I want everybody to go out and have a great week, and we will see everybody next week.
Thanks a lot for listening to the show, and have yourself a great day.